This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
This is Joy 94.9's Family Matters podcast, your light-hearted look at parenthood and rainbow families, sponsored by Berry Street. Did you know that Berry Street seeks members of our LGBTI communities to become foster carers? Not only do they have a proud tradition of training and embracing LGBTIQ carers, they officially support marriage equality. Learn more now at berrystreet.org.au, a proud Joy sponsor for over 5 years.
Melbourne Playback is made up of a team of highly skilled and experienced theatre practitioners and facilitators, all of whom are active participants in Melbourne's vibrant wider arts community. But we are joined by Scott Jackson and Lenka Vanderboom, who are stars in their own right. I want to ask Scott about your show that's coming to air in March, about the postal survey fiascos. It's all in our rearview mirrors now, but you're doing one of the first mediums to actually tell the story.
Yeah, well, we're going to tell the public's story of everything that they've gone through with the plebiscite that happened. It's in March, on the 17th and 18th of March. And we get a wonderful opportunity to speak to the audience and see how they felt about everything and then get their stories, of which we will then play back to the audience. So it's a really...
So every night's going to be different.
Every night, every story will be completely different.
So if I put my hand up and say my version of postal survey where I was on the yes vote, the actors on the stage are going to...
We will...
Showcase it.
Yeah, we will.
Wow, that's interesting.
The facilitator will ask... questions about, to get more specifics about things, and then we'll play it back in either a short form or a longer form.
Okay. I can imagine you'd be like an American football team where you sort of go into your huddle and like, how are we going to do this?
Generally, we don't even talk before we get up and perform it. We improvise the whole thing. We might, on the side, just go, okay, let's do this as something, as a, I don't know, superheroes or whatever. And then that's all we need, just that little one word, and we go on and perform it.
So it's like improv kind of
completely,
thing, taking
yeah.
on it. I know for a lot of people in the community, the Yes campaign and the entire plebiscite, which really people think it lasted for a few weeks, it actually was much longer than that. It's going to trigger some really emotive reactions for the audience and possibly for the performers as well. Are there going to be support people there to assist someone? Because some of this material is still really hard for some of us to even talk about today. Even with a positive outcome, it is still raw. It is absolutely raw.
That's a really, really good question. A lot of our public shows do actually have very, very soulful, very, very, I guess, hard-hitting themes because it involves the people. And we all, you know, when there's such a, you know, a theme as this versus the children's shows during the day, they're a little less open to, you know, that stronghold of history or content. So we always generally, the conductors, very, very learned, extremely good at listening, but also very much not the person that's going to go out and counsel people afterwards. So our partnershiping with and promotion of Relationships Australia or, you know, Beyond Blue or any of those peak body organisations, you know, Headspace for younger people, we're looking to really promote those resources that are, you know, nationally esteemed in the eyes of the audience. Yeah, so we'll definitely be promoting those access pathways to continue the conversations because our performances really are an opportunity for the audience to share their perspective.
So it sounds very cathartic it could also trigger quite a bit of emotion.
Mm. So the Yes Vote was quite historic, obviously. Are these the events that you guys as actors look forward to, you know, getting up on stage and performing?
It's a wonderful opportunity to be able to do what we do, but I wouldn't necessarily say that I look forward to having these big, massive decisions that the country has to make.
Yep. Yeah.
A lot of the public shows that we have done, and this is a company that's 30 years old, it's one of the oldest playback theatre companies in the world. The form of playback theatre, the improvisational theatre form itself, was developed back in the 70s by two individuals who were very much about giving opportunity to those people that aren't often empowered or heard in community. Mm-hmm. So playback theatre at its very roots, way back when, onwards and until today, across the world, across the globe, there are hundreds of playback theatre companies across the world, at the roots is giving voice to those people that aren't always empowered or feel validated in community. So for this Love is Love performance, at this point in time, we feel that the conversation needs to continue to allow that motion, allow that processing to continue, because it is and was and very much it has affected a lot of people in both positive, negative and neutral ways. And those voices, positive, negative, neutral, whatever your perspective is, it's valid. It's a valid opinion.
And that's the beauty of theatre, you know, film, television, even radio, accessibility, cost, you know, production, all that stuff, getting that together is sometimes out of people's reaches. So they don't have a voice to express themselves. But theatre is beautiful in a way that you just need not even a stage, you just need a space where you can get out there and tell that story. Now, Scott, you just smiled when I said it's you just create a space and you can tell a story. Is that what attracts you to theatre?
Absolutely. You can turn any space into something joyful. I love the challenge of being in a new space and going, okay, looking around, what have we got here? Okay, we've got windows over there. I can use that in the scene if that comes about. Where are the people going to be? Are they standing? Are they sitting? All of these challenges. Can I go into the audience? I thrive off going, okay, there's endless possibilities here to to get in there.
Now, every live show, comedy show, theatre show, every show I go to, I don't always want to be an active participant in the audience. And when I see the people on the stage coming into the audience, I start getting a little bit nervous. Am I able to come to these shows and just be like a non-active participant? Can I just sit back, watch, listen, cry, laugh with the show?
This form of theatre is very important. That should a storyteller be needed or required, whether it's in just a little moment you want to share or a really big story, that it is your choice. Absolutely not into, our company's not into dragging people into the stage. And it is so scary.
It is.
I mean, we do get people coming, you know, saying, yes, I need to tell this story. They get up on stage and they forget what they started to think about. So we sometimes get quite different stories to what was originally planned, and that's okay as well. It's absolutely, absolutely fine.
And you'd be completely surprised if you're feeling, oh, okay, I'm just going to sit, I'm just going to watch. By the feeling of what we create and the atmosphere that the facilitator creates, you might want to go, actually, I do want to tell this story, because the last story influenced me to go, okay, no, I do want to be, you know, brave and get up there and say something.
Yeah, and I think the stage that you guys are setting, I think you talk about, Gina talks about triggers that might happen throughout the show, but I think it's got to be a show that will remind us of the day. Like, I remember being at the State Library with you, Gina. It was an exceptional moment. Tears all around and we were happy and hugging. I think that will bring out a lot of the stories on the night, especially for me. That's what I would like. That's looking back at the yesterday. It's all positive for me, so I'm sure there'll be many other people in the audience that will share those stories.
Yeah, and that's not, you know, definitely this is an opportunity to celebrate. So really, you know, it's definitely an opportunity for community to come together and celebrate. I mean, especially having Ro Allen there on the Sunday night show. That's going to be incredible.
Yes. We've had the commish on Family Matters many a times.
Now, the big gun, Ro Allen, the commish. Contribution to the state's magnificent. Huge. Can you give us a sneak peek of what we expect from the commish?
I cannot. Scott, can you give us a sneak peek?
No.
So I assume there's been a few kind of like warm-up sessions leading into this. So you might have seen a script by the commissioner.
No, not at all.
Oh, no. The commission, if you've been anywhere where the commissioner speaks, they're on the fly. They're very good at that. So that's Love is Love. You're both involved in Love is Love. Is it something that everybody's involved at Playback Theatre, or is it you've chosen to be in the show, or how many actors?
So the way that our company works, and most Playback Theatre companies work, just pop your hand up if you're available. Then from that group I think there are 13 of us in the company now, we have people sort of more inclined to want to do we've got a special sound and lighting man who comes and saves the day for us each public show.
And that's all on the fly as well.
It's all improvised, the lighting. It's quite spectacular,
Would have to be to suit the story that's coming out.
And then we have a group of four Playback Theatre actors, two incredible musicians, that the incredible Ernie Grunner and Karen Berger, both of whom are quite famous in their own right across Melbourne and internationally as well. And then a conductor or facilitator who is probably, usually our conductors are the more senior of the company. So they've got a whole heap of experience, and their superpower is to listen well and to help sort of unfold with the storytelling so that the actors on stage have as much information as required. The hard bit is what happens when a storyteller comes up with this incredible story. You can't play back an incredible story.
Exactly.
It's just too good. Yeah. So we need to find other ways to do that.
Wow. And do you record these and share the shows on social media or online? Like, or it is that special moment, you were there, and what you're going to see the next night is going to be completely different. But is there a way that these are captured? Almost, they are almost time capsules that need to be recorded.
It's true. In our previous series of public shows, you can see excerpts of those.
Okay.
And we did choose to record some of those, the anniversary of the 1967 referendum two years ago.
Wow.
And other very big themes, International Women's Day, things like this. The shows, the speakers and then the shows were really significant. This show we haven't got a video at this point, a videographer at this point. But if there is a super amazing videographer that would like to volunteer their services,
you know,
please contact Playback.
Now, this, I'm assuming, covers all age ranges. So anyone can come and participate in this as an audience member.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. But there's another show. Lenka, you're going to tell specifically about this other show because its audience is a little bit different. Its audience probably suits our audience or the kids of our audience, because the next show, called Imaginarium, is catering to an age of 0 to 12. You know, now, please, help explain what Imaginarium actually is.
Tell
you
us
sound
more.
Surprised that a 0 to 12-year-old may not...
I've got a 10-week-old, and I can tell you now, it's hard enough to keep her just not crying for, you know, an hour. But
we can turn that into some magical story.
Oh, please do.
So Imaginarium, I had a little look, and actually one of the interpretations of it, one of the meanings, is the little bit of space in between the cartoon blocks, the opportunity within that, the stories within, between places. So that's one of the versions of Imaginarium. But we want to give voice to the kids.
Yes.
Yeah. And we have, we did do a show at Fringe Festival last year, focusing on kids, on them in our audience. And some of the stories were incredible. We had a 7-year-old, little Isabel. She got up and told her story. She's blind. Oh, I think she's actually 90% blind, sorry. Mm-hmm. But so you can imagine how the audio, the music affected and the vibration that the actors chose to utilize in that particular performance. But we are unlimited in our capacity to tell story for a broad and very, very unique and wonderful audience.
I've just spent the weekend with my nephews, and like they've got an imagination that's like runs wild, and it runs wild from 6 a.m. to about 9 p.m. at night.
Isn't it wonderful?
You can't tame it.
How do you engage these little blessings to tell? How do you draw them in to tell a story and not just tell you about what they ate for lunch that day?
Right. That sometimes happens.
Well, that's the thing, you know. It might be the most interesting thing they think is the story to
tell. Well, we just hope we can outdo the storyteller in these circumstances. So the magic that happens on the stage after the storyteller, that's exciting. Playback theatre, we have a number of different forms to really hold us, to support us as actors, and our musicians are very much a part of that, the magic and transition between storyteller and story. Initially, we generally will warm the audience up with moments.
They need it,
Yeah, just to understand what this form of theatre is, because it is quite, it's new to a lot of people.
And with that age group, have you had any embarrassing times where the kids put their hand up and were like, is there any stories you can tell us about that?
I believe that I wasn't a part of the team for the Fringe Festival last year, but I believe that we did have a baby come up on stage with the mother.
Yep.
And she, I think she was telling the story, and the baby just took over and just started telling his little story. So that's all possible when, by entwining it into her story,
yeah.
It did actually entertain the audience to no end. So
amazing.
There was, there's gems and jewels that we can pull out of the stories in different forms that we use.
Well, you're very brave because they always say never work with kids and animals.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you're like literally going write the script.
Yeah, and we are actually a little bit of both of those ourselves to be in this company. Yeah. We have to be, have that capacity to go a little bit crazy and to think beyond the square.
Now, Scott, you've done quite a few Shakespeare roles in your time.
Yes.
Do you bring any of that inner Shakespeare in these spontaneous shows?
Yeah, sometimes, actually. We did a show recently and there was this wonderful brave, I think he was year 11 or 12, got up and told his story that he wants to be a rapper. And we didn't want to just play, I cannot rap, so we didn't want to play
can
that
you scrap,
back.
Can you scrap that next question? Yeah. Do you? I just want to ask you to rap.
I was going to get him to quote lines from Mercutio, but anyway.
Well, I could do that.
Yeah, that's exciting.
Oh, then Queen Mab have been with you. Yes. Yeah, but then one of the cast suggested that we do it as Shakespeare, because that's rhythm, that's rhyme. And so we went out there, I started performing some Shakespeare, and then I changed the words to suit what he wanted to do. And then the rest of the cast came out and we created this whole fantastic story, which you had the audience going off and stuff, and we were talking about SoundCloud and all this other jazz, and it just, the boy was sitting there just smiling and giggling, going, this is fantastic, and that's the power we have. It's great.
And what do you enjoy more? Do you enjoy doing the Shakespeare classics, or do you enjoy doing the spontaneous, like the two shows that are coming up in March?
Oh, big question. I do love my Shakespeare. I love it a lot. To perform those words and figure out what those words mean and the underlying meaning of all these words is glorious. But to perform off-the-cuff Shakespeare and off-the-cuff any performance is just so thrilling, and there's no feeling like it to be improvising with people that you trust as well.
Yeah.
Well, Shakespeare, that takes me back to my high school days of just trying to get a B+ in English.
Did you?
Oh, I think I did, yeah.
Linka, what I wanted to ask was, with the kids when they are watching their stories back, do they ever stop and go, actually, no, can I redirect this?
Oh,
this is not what I actually, got it all wrong. That's not me in a nutshell. Like, do they?
I think they probably would be bold like that.
Yeah.
Adults are less, they're more hesitant, aren't we? We're nice.
We're polite.
Yeah, we're polite.
We're polite, reserved.
Yes.
Kids but are not.
They're not. So that's great. That's really important.
Yeah. Mm.
Absolutely. We want that. We want more of that.
Yeah.
What the conductor does often, not always, but will ask back to the teller and say, was that your story? Did you see that? Was that your story? I mean, we are transporting these things. Like, you know, we're going from rap to Shakespeare here or all these other worlds we're taking you to. So
amazing.
Is that right? Did it have the essence of your story? Did it feel right? And if it's a no, it's really important that the teller says, nope, you are way off.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So we have the opportunity to see it in a completely other way again.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah. And, you know, it might not be as long or as short. You know, it's
yeah.
Well, I heard Scott say just a little while ago, we have the power. But it is. We have the opportunity to really hold that story and to give that person
and for a young person that would be such an opportunity to get their story right and such a voice for them to find and fall in love with a beautiful art form and be heard.
And
that's the thing of hearing kids' voices. One of the best episodes I think we've done, which was when we had 17 kids in this studio that we interviewed about the Yes campaign, similar to, you know, and got them to tell their stories ahead of the result. And they were probably some of the most inspirational stories we heard. But like you, we had to engage them in play to get their trust, to open, you know, to speak, because they start off shy if they don't know the surroundings. So they start off with play. The children amazed us because here we were just asking them really basic questions. But the pattern I saw coming from each and every one of these kids was marriage equality met. Was like, yeah, of course we want marriage equality for our parents. Yeah, that's nothing. But it was these amazing little humans that came out and all talked about protecting refugees, protecting the environment. Their parents weren't even in the room. They were in here alone. None of them had heard what any of the other kids, but I think every single kid talked about these things that we think my goodness, we're so fortunate that these are our future leaders. It gave us hope. I know it gave me hope. Do you find that when you're meeting these kids that you're seeing things that you just wish? I know for me, I wish adults thought the same way as some of these kids.
Yeah, I think that the perspective of youth, children, babies today is unlike any other before it, and perhaps when we were younger as well, that adults also felt that way, and the generation before that. And it's a really important generation, these little minds, because they are the innovators and they're seeing it raw and real, and they're not telling fibs around it. They're saying, no, that's not right. My parents love each other, and that's what's wrong with that?
Yeah.
So they're voicing and they're witnessing things that they're happy to state raw and down the line, and no bars. It's pretty courageous and wonderful. But it's just them being themselves, and that's the beauty of a little mind, a little a child.
It's amazing how they can look at the status quo and be like, why?
Yeah, they do ask
whereas
why.
We're just like, that's what it is.
Yeah.
But they're asking questions, which is amazing, and hopefully that will, you know, instill change.
Now, the families here, how do you actually get the kids to be a part of this? Do people just volunteer? Is it just whoever comes in the audience? If people see this show and think, actually, I know my 8-year-old would love that. How do families actually get involved?
We want you all there. Come along. Yep. It is a ticketed event at Northcote Town Hall. It's on the 17th of March. During the day, we've got two shows. Mm-hmm. So,
and how long practically will the shows actually go for?
Yeah, usually a 90-minute show in total. Mm-hmm. You know, we're welcoming everyone in. We'll have them seated and we'll see the moment form. Mm-hmm. And then we'll go into story. But I think with the children's show, we're just going to read the audience.
Of course.
Because it changes every time and the energy and actually the theme. Sometimes there's a commonality. There's a wave of a theme or a subject matter of some sort that often will come into a show. So we're reading the energy of the audience, and it's really important. I think it's very important to do that. So we do keep our audiences of a small group of people, or, you know, definitely not for these shows, but in other public shows we've always kept them under 100 at least, just so that we have that connection with each other, because their energy is a part of the show.
I just love the idea that the participants, audience, parents, anybody involved in the show are all rocking up on the day and no one has an idea how the show's going to go,
and you will never see no, we don't.
That's what I love the most about it. That's what excites me the most.
We will never see that piece of theatre again.
So
I agree, having it recorded would be wonderful. Not everybody wants their story recorded, and that would be an element that, you know, we just erase that part.
Yeah, absolutely.
But also the power of a story, if it is recorded, the power of being there and seeing it in person is lost when it's on video. Yeah,
it is.
Yeah, it's like seeing live theatre filmed. It just, there's that element that's missed.
Is there a moment where you ban people from lifting up the phones? Because I've gone to those school concerts for nieces and nephews.
Very topical, Jane, at the moment.
Well, it really annoys me that your kid's up there on stage. Don't watch it through your camera phone. Yeah. Engage with, because half of the story and the engagement is the audience around you. It is how other people are reacting to this. That's the magic of this stuff. It's not watching it through a phone to watch it later. Well, I don't know. That's me.
That's us as well. Yeah, we don't encourage it, and in many of our shows we actually it's not allowed. So, exciting.
Sounds like so much
fun. I know. I'm getting really nervous and excited.
Oh, you're going to be fabulous.
Now, Lekha, you're the Melbourne Playback Theatres Company's first Indigenous performing member. What does that mean for you?
We're an amazing company. We've got such diversity in the group. In our ensemble, there's so many amazing stories within each of our actors. I was introduced to the company actually by Suri Bin Saad, who is a Joy FM presenter.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so he was also a member of Playback Theatre. He's an associate now. He's busy doing amazing, amazing dance works and theatre pieces across Australia. So I was introduced to the company, and For me, it is a rich and empowering opportunity to be able to use things that matter to me. And, you know, we, as the ensemble decides, if we all agree, we go ahead and we can create amazing shows that, that tick our box. Yeah. So yep. Love is Love was definitely something that all of our ensemble were very keen to see happen. Mm. So very exciting.
So where were you guys for the yes vote on, I can't remember the date, was it December 12, 15?
I can't remember now, it's kind of been...
It's gone out of my head.
Mid-December. Yeah. Where were you guys for the yes vote?
I remember sitting next to, I was on public transport somewhere, it was in Melbourne. I remember sitting next to a lady and she was very grey, very like older, she would have been definitely older than 70. And she had a little radio.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
A little wireless.
A wireless. She didn't have her iPhone
was she listening
on.
It to was joy because we were on.
She was waiting for the results to come in. And so I presumed, judgmental, you know, my ageist perspective.
Yeah, okay.
I was presuming she was listening to.
See her no results,
some
maybe.
Some sort of gardening show.
Okay. I was going down a different path.
She was listening. She was listening and waiting for the results to come in. Yeah. And she. She was really pumped.
That's
excited.
Really cool. That's exciting.
For me, it was sort of like when, for me, I've got kids busy and just wrapped up in my own world. So for me, it was like almost like when the apology came in. I wasn't in it. I wasn't out there on the streets fighting for it. I was just voting, doing my vote and getting along with life.
And when conversations come up at cafes, schools, that's where you
Yeah, but when it came through, it was really emotional. I felt very emotional about it. And it was like the sorry vote. I started crying. It's a very important point of time in history, in the world, really.
Yeah. I think a lot of people approach that day thinking about what do we do if it is no result.
I had prepared myself, and this is knowing my personality type, I prepare myself for the worst. So that I can deal with the worst.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I actually, because we, Dave and I were part of the breakfast team and were here giving a really, this was before the result, we had to be really positive, we had to be really upbeat. And I remember coming into the studio, like walking from the train station to here, crying, going, cry now, because you can't cry on air.
Yeah,
you're going to be really positive, you're going to be upbeat. So I had really, I was waiting for the worst outcome. And then, I wasn't even happy. I was relieved. Mm. I was able to exhale.
So before we get to Scott's story, there was quite a few of us from Joy huddled around.
There were.
And I think there was issues at State Library with the audio.
Yeah.
They were cutting out. So a lot of people were trying to
And I,
figure
I can
it out
remember
from their phones
watching Dave phone, trying to get it on the ABC, on the wireless. I remember hugging another of my Joy husbands, Alan, from Outtakes, and he was shaking. I can remember him shaking. Yeah. I remember Chicks Talking Footy, Bree, on my other arm, and she's crying. Like, none of us know, and I'm seeing tears, and I'm like, Dave, get the volume up. Like, just put us out of our misery. And then the relief.
I think my proudest moment of the day was when they were reading out the raw figures, and I was trying to calculate that in my head. I was like, it's definitely a yes vote. And I think I was saying, it's 59 to 60%. It's something like that. I was trying to calculate. And I wasn't that far off.
Can I just say, for that moment, I realised Australia's got a numeracy problem. Yeah. None of us can figure out the statistics.
Oh, we've lost.
There.
Oh, no. It's
like,
no vote.
We need to work on numeracy in this country.
And Scott, can you tell us about where you were?
Yeah. I was actually at home with my partner, Kyle, and we were just sitting on our bed, on the edge of the bed, holding hands and just watching it.
Yeah.
And then we're just going, the same sort of thing as you, the statistics were coming in. We're going, hang on,
just tell us the result.
And then we both just like squished each other's hands harder when it was announced that, yes, it's all gone through. And then we didn't cry or anything. We just sort of sat there in silence for a while, just watching, going, I can't believe this has actually just happened.
Mm.
And then Penny Wong came on and then her like teary breakdown of relief as well came out. That got both of us. Then we just started, you know, blubbering for a bit.
I think for a lot of couples, they were sitting after the restaurant thinking, oh, no, do I have to propose now? Or?
There was that thought. I think we both had that look at each other and we were like, we can do this now. Like, are we going to do this?
But everyone asks us.
We've got to throw away 50 grand in a week now.
And that's the thing. I know, you know, the next day everyone's kind of like, congrats, you can get married. I'm like, don't congratulate me. That was really hard. What we've just been through has been really agonizing.
I can't find a boyfriend. I can't find a husband.
We've had a hashtag find Dave a date. Maybe we actually need to take you to the Love is Love show and build that.
Love, David.
And maybe that way we can finally, because it's not working on radio, hashtag find Dave a date.
Okay, moving on.
Love is red there, David.
Love is Love is Saturday the 17th and Sunday the 18th of March, starting at 7:30 p.m. Tickets are $25, concessions $20, and and for full-time students as well. Bookings are 94819500, or you can go online at melbourneplayback.com.au/what's on. And the venue, Northcote Town Hall.
Imaginarium is Sunday, 18th of March, 10:30 a.m. and 2 p.m. Babies and under two are free. Yay, because they're going to be part of the show. So tickets are $50 for a family of four, $15 full price. Can I also ask about accessibility? Is it a really, you know, people with wheelchair or disability, is the space an accessible space that everyone can
Northcote
get
Town
into?
Hall is, yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah. Now, we are going to put the information on our website as well, on our Facebook page. But if people want to find out more or even get in touch as to how to be part of the show, where do they go?
It is directly to our website, actually. It's the Melbourne Playback website. All of the information is on that website. There should be a map and all of that sort of thing as
Fantastic.
Well. If not, we'll definitely have it up there shortly. But really, yeah, just come down. We'd love to have you in the audience. And if you feel too on the night, we want to hear your stories.
And
sounds
also,
fantastic.
The Sunday, the 18th March session for Love is Love, Commish
the
Roe
commish.
Allen. Not in the audience. Participating, yeah.
Both these shows look absolutely amazing. Very lucky you are to be hearing these stories and get to participate in them, and as are the audience to have such trusted, beautiful storytellers tell that really important story. So thank you so much for joining us here on Family Matters. We wish you all the luck, especially on Imaginarium with all those littlies.
That little tuckers, yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you
for having us.
Pleasure.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.